Hallelujah.
What a powerful verse and chapter Isaiah chapter 61 is. You know, too often we look at it as a verse or a chapter that just spoke about Yahshua. But that can't be true if you read it in context. I mean, if you look at this, it says that we shall be named priests of Yahweh. How could that be plural if it was talking about a single person? Huh? There's so much Yahweh wants to do in our lives, but we're blinded to because we walk in the flesh instead of in the spirit. And Yahweh has given us an example through the Master Yahshua to follow. But too often we say, oh, well, he's done it all. I don't have to do anything. When the truth is, we need to begin to do exactly what he did when he was here on this earth. We need to begin to live our lives as manifested sons and daughters, the same as he did, manifesting Yahweh in our flesh, the same as he did, doing the will of the Father, the same as he did. I know a lot of people think that's crazy. Some people think that's blasphemy. Some people say, how dare you say that you are a son of Yahweh? They said the same thing to the Master, didn't they? And, you know, if we begin to walk that way, then we have to deny ourselves. We have to take up our stake. We need to follow him. What does that word follow him mean? It doesn't mean to walk along behind him like a little puppy dog. It means to do the same thing that he did when he walked here. Folks, we've got to change the mentality that we have been force-fed through religion and begin to walk in truth if we want to have the power of Yahweh in our lives. I want to talk today about how we can get this power, how we can walk the way that Yahshua walked when he was here on the face of the earth. The scripture says that he was a man just as we are, tempted in every way. There's nothing that you cannot do that he did. In fact, he said, not only will you do the works that I do, but greater works than these shall you also do. We need to begin, if we want to walk as manifested sons and daughters, to operate from the inner man. Too many of us are caught up in the lust of the flesh, the dictates of the flesh, the ways of the flesh. Too many of us continue to think that, oh, everything is just going along. I'll just stay where I'm at and not worry about progressing or moving on. That's impossible in life. If you don't move forward, you're actually moving backward. I'll say that again. If you're not moving ahead, you're being left behind. Folks, we've got to begin to accept the gauntlet that's been set down before us, to begin to do the tasks that we have been appointed to do as manifested sons and daughters. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to read Colossians 3, verse 1 through 11. If you then be risen with Messiah, seek those things which are above, where Messiah sits on the right hand of Yahweh. Now, the first thing I want you to see in this very first word, it says, if we are risen with Messiah. Well, that can't be talking about something that happens after we put off this physical body, can it? Because it's talking in the present tense. If you are risen. That's what then be it means. That's King James language for are. If you are risen, it's already done. It's already accomplished. And the truth is that we are risen. We've read that before over in Romans chapter 8. I don't know the exact verse, but it's around verse 25 where it says that Yahweh has ordained us. And because he's ordained us, he's chosen us, and he's predestinated us, and he has glorified us. Already done. Past tense. So we need to begin to understand that we are risen, and we need to begin to walk like risen sons and daughters, seeking the things that are above, where Messiah sits on the right hand of Yahweh. I know a lot of people get a picture in their head of two guys sitting up there on the throne talking to each other or something. But that's not, I mean, that's a picture the religious world has drawn in our mind. It definitely is not the truth of what's going on. Number one, because it's a spirit realm. What it means is to be with the power and the glory of Yahweh. And folks, that same glory, that same power, according to this verse, is available for you if you will seek those things that are above. You're risen. You're in the same place. You have the power of Yahweh available to your disposal if you would learn how to operate as sons and daughters of Yahweh. Therefore, it says in verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Messiah in Yahweh. How often do we have everything of the world come crashing around us, come dragging at us, come, you know, it's like walking through a field and all these things come out grabbing at you to detract your attention, to take you away from the goal that you've been set to accomplish. Folks, you need to keep your eye on the prize of the high calling. And you need to begin to set your affection on these things that are above. What does that word affections mean? It means your desire, your will, your wants, your appetites. You need to begin to seek after Yahweh more than the things of this fleshly existence. Does that mean you can't have anything in this life? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that for you. But if things have you, then you probably need to get rid of them. If you're walking as a person that is consumed with the lust of the flesh, through whatever avenue or vein it is, then you need to physically remove those things, pluck them out, the Master said, from your life. Take them away so that you begin to get your mind set on the affections of the heavens. You know, we're about to spend some time next week in the fast, or we're calling it now the Feast of Atonement. And one of the things, Tam and I were just talking about this the other day, you know, some people make it a moany, groany, oh, I got to suffer for my sins kind of thing. Well, if that's true, then the work that Yahshua did was worthless. So quit calling on him. But his work has to be exemplified in your life. And what we ought to be doing that day is thanking Yahweh, number one, that we have an example to follow, and number two, examining ourselves to find out where we're still walking after these things that are on earth instead of setting our affections on things above. Why? Because our life is dead. That means that physical life, it's already passed. That's what it says in verse 3, for you are dead. We're walking dead men. I've told you over and over, and here's a verse that proves it. You are not a physical man. You are a spirit man in a physical body. And there is a huge difference. And we need to begin to recognize that difference. Therefore, it says in verse 5 that we ought to mortify our members which are upon the earth. What does that word mortify mean? I'm mortified. It means to be dead. to kill, to put to death these unclean affections, these unclean desires, these unclean lusts. And every one of us still has them in some fashion, in some form, in some... You know, I draw. And when I draw in graphite, which is basically black and white. But in between pure white and pure black, there are hundreds of different shades. And that's what makes a drawing come to life, are those shades. And you may have 99% of the black out, but you still have something that's not white. Folks, each of us have areas in our lives where we're still hanging on, where we're still looking to please the flesh instead of pleasing the spirit in every situation, everything that goes on. If you haven't any of those areas in your life, please come and pray over me. I'm serious. If you've reached it, then begin to show forth what you're manifesting, because you are a manifested son of Yahweh at that point. A manifested daughter of Yahweh at that point. But that is not an excuse for us to keep walking in those things. Rather, Shaul tells us here that we need to put to death these affections, these lusts. You can reach that while you're alive in this flesh. The Master did. And if he did, then you can as well. Otherwise, he would never have said to you, be perfect as your Father in the heavens is perfect. He would have never said, follow me. Well, I understand that you guys can't climb the mountain to the height that I did. So you just follow down to the base of the mountain and stand there and worship me. He never said that. He called us to go up that mountain to the very top with him. For the sake of all these unclean things, the wrath of Yahweh comes upon the children of disobedience, in which time you walked when you lived in them, but now put off all these things, including anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Don't lie to one another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. I love in this chapter how Shaul talks in the past tense, that it's already done. You have put off. You have died. You are risen. See, all the negative is past, and all the positive, the kingly, the kingdom things are now. And you have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Messiah is all and in all. That word Messiah there doesn't refer to Yahshua the man. It refers to the anointing of Yahweh upon your life. That anointing, folks, is everything. And it's in everything. And it's in you. But you need to begin to operate out of that anointing. You need to begin to learn how to operate from the inner man where that anointing dwells. Over in Romans, it tells us that he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is out of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of Yahweh. What's he saying there? He's saying, folks, the kingdom is inside out. Everything that we understand comes from the outside in, but we need to begin to live from the inside out. We need to begin to manifest that spirit realm. The kingdom is that which is inner man. And you need to begin to accomplish that in your life. You need to begin to operate from that inner man that has been empowered. Somebody say, I'm already empowered.
I'm already empowered.
Say it again. I'm already empowered. You got to get that through your head. So many of us sit around, oh, Yahweh, please give me power. You got all the power you're ever going to have. You just don't know how to use it yet. You know, if I was to walk up to you, Sean, and Sean's going to be a part of the fellowship here in real life. Hallelujah. We're excited about that. And he's going to be a part of the worship team. And wow, what an addition and a blessing Sean and Sharon are. But they're going to come down here and live not too far. And they're going to have a piece of land. Sean's going to say to me, David, I need this big old rock removed out of my property. This rock weighs about 8 ton. And I'm going to hand Sean a stick of dynamite. Now Sean is going to go over to that rock, and he's going to take that stick of dynamite and start digging with the dynamite, using it like a shovel to try and get that rock out. Huh? But it won't work. And so he's going to get mad and back up and throw the stick of dynamite at the rock, trying to break it, thinking maybe it'll smash it. And that won't work either. And then he's going to take the stick of dynamite and put another stick underneath of it and try and push down on it and use that stick of dynamite as a lever to pull that rock out of there. But that's not going to work either. Folks, there's only one way to use the power that's been given you. But you need to know how to use that power. It's like the guy who bought a chainsaw, and he went out to the woods, and the chainsaw salesman told him, this is the best chainsaw there is. It will cut 50 trees a day. So the guy's out in the woods, and he's trying and trying and trying, and he takes it back, and he says to the chainsaw dealer, he says, this chainsaw just isn't working for me. I work for 8 hours, and I could only get four trees down. And the chainsaw man said, what in the world? Something's got to be wrong with this saw. So he put the switch on, and he put it to prime and primed it up and pulled the string, and vroom, 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 the chainsaw started up. And the guy that was trying to cut the trees jumped back. And he said, what's that? Yeah, he was hacking away at the trees and had so much power available at his disposal, but he didn't know how to use that power. Folks, you have so much power inside of you. But just like Sean and his stick of dynamite, just like that man with the chainsaw, you're not yet aware of how to operate with that power from the inner man. And because of that, you are overcome on every situation, on every side. Now, as you become more and more understanding of how to utilize that power, how to walk in faith that's been given you, then you start to see small things happen. You start to get closer. But so many are still walking. And even if they get a little bit of truth, they begin to get tired after a while. They begin to grow weary of exercising this spiritual realm that we've been called to exercise. But the truth is that if they were operating out of that inward man, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4, that inner man is renewed and strengthened day by day. If you were truly operating out of that inner man, you would never grow tired. What that tells me is that when people say, oh, I'm tired. I tried this faith thing, but it doesn't work. I've tried to trust y'all, but it just isn't happening for me. I see everybody else get blessed, but I can't get the blessings. The truth is that you're not really operating in the spirit. You're not operating in the kingdom realm. You're not operating from the inside. Rather, you're operating from your natural understanding of what you think the kingdom should be operating like. Put that up there, Pokey. That's really important that they get this. You're operating from the natural mind and what it thinks the kingdom of Yahweh ought to operate like. I'll say that one more time. You're operating from the natural mind and what it thinks that the kingdom of Yahweh ought to operate like. You've got a preconceived notion. You've got a preconceived idea. You know, I know people that take chainsaws, and these chainsaws are real powerful tools if used properly, but they'll use them improperly even with the motor going. And they won't be as efficient as people that know how to use it. Me, for example, I know how to drive a car, but I try and stay around 50 miles an hour, even on highways. I go about 60 if the speed limit's 70. But I drive kind of slow and carefully and take my time. And Mario Andretti drives his car at 240 miles an hour. What's the difference there? He should get a speeding ticket, Rachel said. He has the inner capability to drive at that speed. It's like second nature to him. He doesn't even think about driving 240 miles an hour while he's on the track. I know some people drive that speed when they're on the main roads. They ought to be shut down because then you're endangering somebody. But do you understand the difference? There's something inside that he just understands that I don't understand yet. Well, the kingdom is like that too. And you have that available to you if you would just listen and learn how to hear from Yahweh. But I drive out of my mind. I'm always looking around. His driving is instinctual. That's how our spirit walk has to be. Stop trying to understand it with your natural mind. Begin to delight in the law of Yahweh after the inner man. Begin to delight in the law of Yahweh after the inner man. Too many people walking in that outward man. Too many people walking in that show. Too many people understanding the law with their natural mind. And they're killing themselves. What does it say in Corinthians chapter 2? It says that the letter of the law destroys, but the spirit of the law gives life. You cannot understand the kingdom from the outward, natural, ego-ruled realm. And as long as you continue to try, you will fail. As long as you continue to try, you will continue to flounder and fall. You'll take two steps ahead and one step back. Three steps ahead and two steps back the next time. Sure, you're making minute advances. But folks, the power that is within you can take you off the charts, so to speak, if you will begin to hear from inside, where the Spirit resides, where Yahweh desires to speak to you in that still, small voice. So the first key we see to walking in the inner man, to operating according to that inner man, is to stop operating according to the flesh. Stop understanding with the ego, with that natural mind. Yahweh wants to give you strength inside of your inner man. By His Spirit, we find in Ephesians 3:16 that He would give you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man. That Messiah, again, that's not talking about Yahshua, that's talking about the anointing. You have to learn to differentiate where it's speaking about what in the Scripture. Because the same word is used, Christ, for anointing, for Yahshua, for whatever. You know, actually, Yahshua, Messiah, or Jesus the Christ, means Yahshua the Anointed One. Christ is not really a last name. It's not really a word even. Better is the anointing. And we need to learn to operate in that anointing. That the anointing, in verse 17 there, may dwell in your hearts by faith. By what? So the first key is we've got to stop operating according to the flesh. We've got to stop feeding the flesh. Second step is we need to begin to operate after the Spirit by faith. What does that mean? Well, it's the evidence of things not seen. I can't see it. No kidding. If you could, it wouldn't be faith. I can't feel it. No kidding. If you would, you would know it. But rather, faith has to be operated by trusting that Yahweh is, put that up there, Shep, Hebrews 11, verse 6, knowing that He is and that He will reward us because we are His sons and daughters. We're diligently seeking after Him. Otherwise, it's impossible to be operating in faith. So we've got to get rid of the flesh. We have to operate in faith. And the third step is also outlined here in Ephesians, that we would be rooted and grounded in love. Now let me say something while we're here. The first part of the equation has to happen before the second part of the equation. You cannot operate in love before you have or are operating according to the Spirit of Yahweh. Because if you try to operate in love without it coming through the Spirit, you are simply operating in flesh love, ego love, which will destroy the other person or destroy the situation. Ego is all about self. And one of our definitions that Yahweh gave us years ago was that love is giving at the cost of ourself, whereas lust, or ego love, is receiving at the cost of another. Get that into your spirit. Understand the depth of that, and it will set you free. Okay? Let me say it again. You want to write this down, copy it, paste it, put it somewhere. Lust is receiving at the cost of others, while love is giving at the cost of yourself. Okay, so we've got stop operating after the flesh. Let the anointing that is within you begin to operate by faith. You operate it, you put it into action by faith. Number three is allow the love of Yahweh to take over and to shine through you, because He is love. Everything there is encompassed in that word love. Not physical love that we understand, not mental, egotistical love, but true love by the Spirit of Yahweh in us. You see, we've got to allow that inner man to begin to flow through. That inner man, it says in 1 Peter, is not corruptible. It can't be corrupted. Somebody say, I'm so glad. There's a part of me that's already perfect. See, you just need to let that perfect come through. That inner man is incorruptible. It cannot be corrupted. When you do something that is contrary to the kingdom, you're not operating out of that inner man. You're operating out of the ego man. You're operating out of the flesh man. We talked a long time ago, go get those messages up online, about the dichotomy within us. The two lions that are roaring inside. The spirit man and the flesh man. We need to begin to understand that if we will live in the Spirit, Galatians chapter 6, verse 25, that the lust of the flesh will fall away. But it all begins by walking in the Spirit. See that? So the question is then, whose will are we doing? Flesh is our will. Spirit is Yahweh's will. Over in Psalm 40, verse 8, David said, I delight to do thy will, O my Elohim. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will, O Yahweh. You know, so many people today, I believe, I could be wrong. Somebody could prove me wrong. But most people, I think, tend to say, oh, I'll forbear and do some of Yahweh's will because I have to. I'm his son after all. But boy, when that flesh chance comes along, they really jump to do that will. Am I right or wrong? Y'all know I'm right. Okay, every one of us live here. Because we would rather please the flesh than walk in the Spirit. It's more fun. Yahshua, our example, our master in John 4 said, I have meat to eat that you don't know of. The disciples are trying to get him to move into the flesh and say, here, have some food. You're going to starve. You're going to die. You're going to fade away. You're going to famish. I have an Italian aunt who says that. Mangia, you're going to starve to death. This is my fourth bowl of spaghetti. Yahshua said what? I have meat to eat that you don't understand. You don't comprehend it. You can't see it. Therefore, his disciples said, who bought him meat? See, they were totally walking in the flesh. They did the same thing later on when he spoke about the leaven of the Pharisees. He said, oh, we got to not eat the bread that the Pharisees give out. That isn't what he was talking about. He was talking about this dichotomy between the spirit and the kingdom, the spirit and the kingdom realm, and the flesh realm. Huh? But watch what he says in verse 34. My meat, my subsistence, my existence, my everything is to do the will of Yahweh. Now it says him who sent me. Well, we understand that's Yahweh. And to finish his work. Well, see, that was Yahshua's job. He was to finish the Father's work. It's done. Then why does it say in the scripture that he who has begun a good work in you? You see, folks, there's a work he's trying to do through you too. It wasn't just all about Yahshua. And we've got to stop being blinded and begin to take responsibility. He said in another place, John 6, I've come down from the heavens not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Over in John 10, the Jews came around him. They circled him and said, how long are you going to make us to doubt? If you're the anointed one, the Messiah, tell us plainly. Yahshua said, I told you, and you didn't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they're the works that will bear witness of me. Here's a lesson we can learn. Quit walking around telling everybody how holy you are and start living holy. Quit walking around telling everybody how righteous you are because of whatever laws it is that you keep. And begin to live. Let the very works that come forth out of your life show your holiness, folks. You know why people don't do that? Because if they did, it would show how really unholy they really are. Think about it. The works that I do bear witness of me, but you don't believe because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, so I and my Father are one. Then the Yahudim took up stones to stone him. And Yahshua said, many works, good works, have I shown you from the Father. For which of these works are you killing me? Why do you guys want to destroy me when I just finished telling you that I'm here to represent Yahweh and to show his works and to show you how to do those works in your life? And they said, it's not for good work, but rather for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be the son, or to be Elohim. Yahshua said, it's written in your law, folks. You are Elohim. If he called them Elohim, whom the word of Yahweh came to, and the scripture cannot be broken, then why would you say to me, I'm going to kill you because you say you're the son of Yahweh? You see, that's exactly how the religious world does. And the religious world has continued to do that even to this day. They tell you that if you make this confession, I'm a son of Yahweh, I am a child of the Almighty, I am His anointed on this. If you start saying things like that, you're going to be ousted. You're going to receive the left foot of fellowship. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be spoken evil about. People are going to say you're whacked out. Isn't that exactly what they did to the Master? Folks, if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, then rejoice, for great is your reward in the heavens. Stop living the way they want you to live. That's of the flesh. And begin to live after the kingdom. John 5, Yahshua said, my Father works up to now, and I work. Therefore, they sought to kill him more, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but he said that Yahweh was his Father, making himself equal with Yahweh. Here's another thing we can break some sacred cows down with. Anybody here say Yahweh is their Father? Yeah, people want to jump on you all the time for, oh, I'm equal with Yahweh. That's why they were going to kill him, because he said he was his Father, making him equal. You call Yahweh your Father? What are you doing then? You're saying I'm his son. I have all the rights. I have all the inheritance as an heir that Yahshua does. And so do you. But along with those rights also comes the responsibility. We've got to begin to operate from that inner man instead of just operating from the outside. Yahshua answered in verse 19 and said, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever things he does, these also the Son does likewise. Folks, if you're operating from the inner man, it's because you've seen the Father do that. Because you understand that word see doesn't mean to see with your physical eyes. It means to comprehend. And it's a comprehension that can't even be explained. I can't tell you how to receive that. You have to spend time before Yahweh in meditation and allow His Spirit to speak to your heart. He will. You don't have need for any man to teach you these things. All that I can do is encourage you and say, hey, you got to reach this place. But you have, if you're coming here for some quick fix, some quick answer, you can't do it. I can't give it to you. No man on this earth can give it to you. Can I tell you a secret? Even if Yahshua stood here in your midst, he couldn't tell you how to do it. It's something you have to do. You know, in drawing, I can learn all about this and that and have teachers show me what lines to draw here and what lines to draw there. But until I experience it and make it a part of me, I can't do it. Does that make sense? I tell people all the time, when you go out to the bush, people want to come in and they want to begin to share different ways of doing things out in the bush, but they've never spent any time out in the bush. And so they'll come in and correct what videos we put up and tell us a better way to do it when they haven't spent any time. And so people will come and they'll say, okay, I've watched his video, now I know how to make a bow drill fire. No, you don't. You know possibly some of the techniques, but they're not part of you. You don't understand them. And it's exactly the same way in the spirit realm. You have some of these techniques in your natural mind, but that's the only place where you understand them because you haven't learned to live and listen in the spirit yet. And so you mess those techniques up and you begin to... It's like me teaching somebody a bow drill and tell them to do this, 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 and this. And then they go home and they try and practice it because they know all the techniques, right? But what they do is make a point on both ends of the bow. And so once that's done, they can't get a fire going. And they write back, how come I can't do it? It's because you don't know. You think you know. You think one of the techniques in drawing is to draw what you see, not to draw what you think you see. There's a difference there. And you got to think on that and meditate on it for a while. But it's very true in the spirit realm. You've got to do what you really see, not do what your ego mind is telling you the truth is. Say this with me. It was our opening verse. And I want you to say it as a proclamation today. Say, the Spirit of the Master Yahweh,
the Spirit of the Master Yahweh
is upon me.
Is upon me.
Because he has anointed me.
Because he has anointed me.
To preach good tidings unto the meek.
To preach good tidings unto the meek.
He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted.
He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted.
To proclaim liberty to the captives.
To proclaim liberty to
the
captives.
The opening of the prison.
The opening
of the prison. To them that are bound.
To them that are bound.
To proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh.
To proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh.
The day of the vengeance of our Elohim.
The day of the vengeance of our Elohim.
To comfort all that mourn.
To comfort all that mourn.
To appoint unto them all that mourn in Zion.
To appoint unto all them that mourn in Zion.
To give them beauty for ashes.
To give them beauty for ashes.
The oil of joy for mourning.
The oil of joy for mourning.
The garment of praise.
The garment of praise.
For the spirit of heaviness.
For the spirit of heaviness.
That they might be called trees of righteousness.
That they might be called trees of righteousness.
The planting of Yahweh. Might be
glorified.
That's what it's all about, folks. That anointing dwells in you. Will you use it and begin to operate from that spirit man within? Until you do, you're never going to walk as manifested sons and daughters.